From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, October 26, 2017. And on this day, the arguments for and against Medicaid expansion from the perspective of Maine hospitals, and how some in the legislature are looking to force Governor Paul LePage to accept about $9 million in federal job training funds. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
A small group of relatives and reporters were back in court in Augusta today for day two of a hearing to determine whether Andrew Balser should be tried as an adult or a juvenile for the murders of his parents in their Winthrop home last Halloween. Abukar Adan has more.
Andrew Balser was 17 years old at the time of the murders, just shy of his 18th birthday. And the prosecution, led by Assistant Attorney General Robert Ellis, want Balser to be tried as an adult because of the seriousness of the offense and the risk they say he could pose to public safety. On Wednesday, the chief medical examiner testified that Balser's mother was stabbed 9 times and his father 13 times. But Balser's defense attorney, Walter McKee, is hoping the case can be handled in juvenile court. He argues that Balser was struggling with gender identity and felt repressed at home. It's a claim supported by both Deborah Bader, the chief forensic psychologist who examined him, and Beth Peavy, who worked with him at Long Creek Youth Development Center. If Balser is convicted as an adult, he could face 25 years to life in prison. But if he's convicted as a juvenile, he would likely face a lighter sentence and be confined at a juvenile facility until he's 21. Judge Eric Walter will decide at a later date. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Abukar Adan.
Legislative leaders are considering 3 separate proposals that would ensure the state accepts some $9 million in federal job training funds that Governor Paul LePage has rejected. Mal Leary has more.
Legislative leaders have been privately discussing what lawmakers can do to require the State Department of Labor to accept the federal training funds. The 3 bills before leaders Thursday take different approaches to requiring the money that is accepted and distributed to regional workforce boards, as they have been for years. Senate President Mike Thibodeau of Winterport is a Republican and says leaders want to figure out which approach will work.
Very little sense in letting a bill in if it doesn't have if it's not going to be able to accomplish what it sets out to do.
House Majority Leader Erin Herbig, a Belfast Democrat, agrees. She says all the leaders have now is the bill title and a brief description of what the sponsor wants it to do. She says they need time to make sure any bill considered next session has a chance to address the problem.
We are going to have conversations between now and our next Legislative Council meeting and come up with a unified path forward. That is my hope, that we'll have a bipartisan solution to accepting these funds and really getting them to the workforce centers where those funds are desperately needed.
The Legislative Council vets all new bills for the next session. It meets again at the end of next month. The LePage administration sought a waiver from the Trump administration so that the state can control the flow of training money rather than allowing it to go through local boards that are run mostly by employers. The local boards target the job training funds to help fill vacant jobs in their area. The LePage administration's waiver was rejected. And Herberg says training help for thousands of Mainers has been jeopardized by LePage's move to freeze the funds.
We have bipartisan support to accept those funds. These are the centers that train people who are unemployed and help them get back to work. This is a service that is particularly essential to rural Maine.
Thibodeau agrees. He notes all 10 legislative leaders supported tabling the bills, thereby keeping them alive until the council can evaluate them. He is concerned that some centers have indicated they will start cutting services next month, and some may close.
We've got some of these centers that are closing. We're concerned about that. We want to make sure that Mainers have the same access as other folks would have in other states.
Whatever bill is finally considered, it will be months before lawmakers can hold hearings and act on it. Meanwhile, some of the centers have filed a federal lawsuit to get the funds that LePage has refused. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
A 26-year-old Bucksport man is in custody after a shooting last night that injured two men. Bucksport Police Chief Sean Gagan said his investigation thus far indicates the shootings took place around 8:30 last night near an Apple Orchard parking lot off Route 46 in the community.
As a result of the entire investigation, Corey Turcotte, age 26, of Bucksport, was arrested and charged with aggravated assault, Class B. He was transported to the Hancock County Jail.
Gagan says he has yet to receive a medical condition update on the two injured men whose names are being withheld as the investigation into the case continues. The chief said one of the two injured individuals was also carrying a gun and that all three men had apparently agreed to the meeting near the orchard. Corey Turcotte, the alleged shooter, is expected to make an initial court appearance today or tomorrow. And finally today, next month, voters will decide whether the state should expand Medicaid. At stake is health coverage for an estimated 70,000 Mainers, as well as financial stability for hospitals. In 2016, half of Maine's hospitals were in the red. They didn't have enough revenue to cover operating expenses. Expanding Medicaid would reimburse them for many patients who currently receive charity care. But opponents say expanding Medicaid is not the answer for hospitals' financial problems and would only repeat mistakes from the past. Patty White has more.
Perched near the southern tip of Moosehead Lake, the Charles A. Dean Memorial Hospital in Greenville has cared for the community for 100 years. Lumberjacks were among its first patients, and although the local industry has changed over the years, hospital president Terry Vieira says the 25-bed facility is still a vital part of the community. It's the region's largest employer, and it provides a critical safety net.
We cover an emergency services area about the size of the state of Rhode Island, with a big old lake in the middle. So when you need emergency services, we're really the folks that are going to come and get you.
But some of the people who come to the ER don't have insurance. And it's that lack of coverage, says Dr. Joe Babbitt, that often leads to the medical crisis.
It's frustrating when someone comes in because they have something that's serious and you know that there was an opportunity to catch it sooner and treat it better, and cost or access was the barrier.
On the other extreme, Babbitt sees people come to the ER for issues that don't require emergency level care.
But because they have no other affordable access to a more appropriate type of care, this is what they end up having to use. And so it's sort of at both extremes of, seeing things that don't need us or seeing things that are too late for us to help.
Terry Vieira says about 11% of patients don't have insurance and enter into a payment plan. But some can't even afford that, and so the service becomes charity care. It costs the hospital about $375,000 a year.
There's no real option for some of these folks.
That could change in November. Maine voters will decide whether the state should expand Medicaid coverage to adults with incomes up to 138% of the federal poverty level. That's about $16,000 for an individual and $34,000 for a family of four. Vieira says expanding coverage would not only improve the health outcomes of those who gain coverage, it would also bolster the financial health of hospitals, especially rural ones, which would receive reimbursement for the care that they now provide for free.
I would say it's a real turning point for health care in the state of Maine.
A turning point because 19 of the state's hospitals, says Jeff Austin of the Maine Hospital Association, are operating on a negative margin.
Over half of our members, they're losing money. And some, significantly. So it's been tough going here for several years.
Over the past 4 years, the legislature has reduced Medicaid reimbursement to hospitals by $60 million. Hospitals have also absorbed Medicare cuts under the Affordable Care Act. The cuts were supposed to be offset by the ACA's expanded Medicaid program. But when a court decision made expansion optional, that offset was lost to hospitals in non-expansion states like Maine. In addition, Maine hospitals currently provide more than $100 million worth of charity care each year.
Medicaid expansion will not eliminate that burden in its entirety, but it can certainly help.
Medicaid expansion is not the solution. Again, we tried it before in Maine.
Brent Littlefield is with the Welfare to Work PAC, which opposes Medicaid expansion.
Maine has tried Medicaid expansion in the past, back between 2002 to 2003. And we saw as a result of that a massive $750 million hospital debt.
That expansion did result in millions of debt owed to hospitals, which Governor Paul LePage paid back in 2013. But Jeff Austin says the circumstances are different this time.
The federal share of expansion is just simply much higher.
If expansion passes, the federal government will initially cover 94% of the cost. That ratchets down to 90% by 2020 and stays at that level. The Maine Center for Economic Policy projects that's an injection of about $500 million federal dollars per year. But Brent Littlefield says there's also a state cost.
The current plan would have state of Maine taxpayers paying between $50 to $100 million per year.
Which, he says, would create a budget crisis. And Littlefield can't empathize with hospitals' charity care woes.
All Maine hospitals are technically nonprofits. They have an agreement when they agree to become a nonprofit that they will not pay taxes, which in the case of Maine, if you add them up, would be millions of dollars statewide. They do not pay taxes in return for providing charity care. So there is money there to provide that charity care. It comes from them not paying taxes.
Nonprofit hospitals do get tax breaks, but in Maine, they pay a tax on net operating revenues to help fund Medicaid. If expansion doesn't pass, Jeff Austin says hospitals will continue to provide charity care to patients, but
the costs associated with their care will come out in other ways, as hospitals try to negotiate reimbursement rates with commercial insurance, or as hospitals experience losses and end service lines or lay off people.
Dr. Babbitt at C.A. Dean Memorial thinks there will be even more drastic consequences.
The biggest worry is closing, and that's not a hypothetical. I mean, you can make a list of the small Maine hospitals that have closed in the last 15 years.
Terry Vieira agrees some rural hospitals would likely close. C.A. Dean, she says, will not, but it may have to cut back.
We may be in the position of looking at some services that we can no longer provide.
And that's at a time, Vieira says, when the hospital needs to expand to cover gaps in care, like addiction and mental health services. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Thursday, October 26, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.